Season 5 begins today. Thank you for your continued support and sharing the podcast. Season 5 is going to have some spectacular guests. I can't wait to get started with you. Well, welcome to Ordinary People, Extraordinary Things. I'm here with Laura. Laura, thanks for being on.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I'm so excited that you said you'd be on. We have a mutual friend, Bridget, and she got us connected.
Yes, she's great. Love her. And she just had her book come out, and I'm super proud of her. So
yes, I've read it. It's really good. It's
yes. Really good.
So if people don't know who you are, can you give three words or phrases that describe you?
Yeah, that was an interesting thing to think about. For me, I would say beauty, collaboration, and impact. Ooh. Are three words that describe me. Beauty being awe, arts, different things like that. Just capturing and cherishing kind of moments of beauty. And then collaboration, working with other people, team building, those kind of, I love working with others. Oh. And so collaboration in all different ways, and then impact for anything that I do. I hope that it would make a difference for the kingdom of God. So I hope that it has some eternal impact beyond what I'm doing in the present moment.
Oh, that's beautiful. So when you were just saying that, you said teamwork. And I feel like something that just in general in our society right now is that people are kind of going inward. They're not wanting to be around people. Like they say things like, the world would be great if it wasn't for people, or, you know, kind of things that are kind of funny. But then on the other hand, you're like, yes. But you're serious, you know? So why, I just find it so interesting that you would say that. Could you kind of maybe elaborate for that on?
Yeah. And I would say it definitely would be intentional relationship building. It's not just being with other people, but being intentional with other people, working together. We can't do things alone. And I think often we consider ourselves, especially in America, independent mm-hmm. individuals. Even the way our households run, we don't often live with, well, it depends, but we don't often live with family after we're done with college, if you go to college, different things. Whereas, so the community culture is kind of different here, but we were built to be dependent beings mm-hmm. on God. Even in the garden before sin happened, Adam and Eve were dependent on God and they walked with him. And so I think sometimes we think of dependency as weakness, but it's actually not a failure or a weakness. It's in our DNA of how we were meant to be dependent on God and dependent on one another, not in unhealthy ways. Of course, we can only really get what we deep down need from God, but having that dependency on each other, we can build something really cool together.
Wow. That was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think maybe I just needed that today. So thank you.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So Laura, you lost your father very publicly when you were 12. Is that correct?
Yes. 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Can you, for someone who's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, could you give us some context?
Totally. So to backtrack a little bit, my dad was an astronaut. So we moved to Texas when I was 4 years old. And he started his journey at NASA and flew one mission. And then on his second mission, the Space Shuttle Columbia, unfortunately, it crashed upon reentry, attempting to land. And so I lost my dad at 12 years old on the Space Shuttle Columbia. He was the commander. And that was definitely one of those moments in your life where everything kind of pauses and stands mm-hmm. still, and it just sticks out, obviously, for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And that was 20 years ago, just a few months ago, right? February 1st.
21 years. It was 2003. So 21 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Why yes. do I say 2023? Huh? 21
I know.
Years ago. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. I can't imagine. So what's it like to A, lose your dad when you're 12, but then I'm sure kind of publicly it makes it a little bit different too.
Yeah, I had an amazing dad. And so I know everybody has a different relationship with their dad. And that's something as I've gotten older, I've really reflected on as well, is I had a very involved dad in my life. He, yes, was an astronaut, but that wasn't the biggest thing that he highlighted at home with us. He was invested as a dad. He'd come home and make time to spend with us. I went on daddy-daughter dates, told me I was beautiful every day, was very involved in every aspect of my growing up, and was a very loving father, shared about God. And so having that loss was pretty devastating. It's the hardest thing I've ever been through. And it's interesting, at 12, I felt so much older. It grew me up so quick. Now I look at 12-year-olds and I have so much compassion for my younger self. And even like, it's heartbreaking to think about 12-year-old me, because at that point I felt so grown up. Your thoughts are really developed already in a lot of ways at that age. And so I kind of felt like, okay, how am I gonna help my mom? I have a younger brother who was 7 at the time, and all these questions flooded my head, big and small. Who's gonna help me with math? Who's gonna walk me down the aisle one day if I get married? Are we gonna have to get jobs? Are we gonna have to move? Like, how is life going to change because of this? And not even that was just like the initial questions, not how am I going to live without my dad too. That obviously came later as I grieved. And it's interesting because people will say so many different things to you, some helpful, some not. But
Right.
I'm so thankful God did some preparation in my life before I was 12. That year before, I was in sixth grade the year before, and I was frustrated because I felt like the Bible didn't speak to me. And so I just started reading my Bible a lot, which is kind of abnormal for a sixth grader to
Right.
just say, okay, oh, I'm going to read my Bible a lot because it doesn't speak to me and I'm annoyed by that, and so I'm going to read it more. And that was really God's provision, because when that moment hit, I remember being back. We heard the news at NASA crew quarters. We had been on the landing strip where they were supposed to land, and we were going to greet them and see them again in Florida. And they take us back to NASA crew quarters and give us the news. And I remember turning to my aunt and saying, I know God's going to take care of us. I don't know how, but I know He will. And those verses that I'd been reading the year before, that He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief, that He heals the brokenhearted, He turns our mourning into dancing, and that we can trust in Him and He will keep our paths straight. All these verses started coming to life that, at the time, wasn't sure what they meant to me, but I was seeking God in, that year before, and clearly He was planting truth in me so that when I needed it, it would be available to me to comfort me in ways that I really didn't understand, but I'm so thankful that He did that for me in that way.
That's beautiful. Even like this last weekend, I was chatting with someone and they said, I feel far away from God. And I think what you did was so lovely. Like, instead of just saying, I feel far away, I'm just giving up, or He doesn't exist, or a myriad of things, you said, well, let me press in, right? Like, what a good thing for all
Right.
of us to learn from.
Yeah, even me, because I feel like it was God's grace that pushed me in. I really don't know if I can take credit, because I just don't think it was a natural inclination for me. So I'm just thankful I had that relationship with God already, and so he nudged me into that. So I get, when God nudges you, I guess just trust the nudges. So, because it really is, he's doing more than we know. And I love that his grace works that way. I was a sixth grader who didn't know anything that was about to happen in my life, but God did. And he stepped in and was a good father to me in that way too.
Yeah. So you weren't worried, or maybe you were, I'm sorry, I just made that up for you. You said you were like there for the landing though. So you weren't expecting anything to go wrong. I kind of assume, or is there always a worry, or how, you know?
I knew my dad being an astronaut that it's a risk to fly, obviously, to space, but I had always been more nervous about launch day because of Challenger that happened in 86.
Yeah.
And so I knew about that. And my dad and mom and, you know, our family would have discussions about there is risk, but we didn't fixate on that. And we trusted God, you know, that he's in control of our lives. And so we're not fixating on what might happen. And truly, landing had never been a concern before. So every other mission had gone well when they had their landing. So no, I wasn't really worried at all. Maybe a little nervous, like, and excited. And I remember standing there and there was a countdown clock counting down the minutes until they were to be back. And at a minute out, we should have heard the sonic boom where they break the sound barrier. And that's kind of an indicator they're on track and coming in. And so it hits a minute, we don't hear the sonic boom. And I remember my mom started asking our astronaut friend who was assigned to us to like help us understand any technical things. I go to her and she's talking to him and I said, "Mom, is Daddy okay?" And she said, "No, I don't think so." And that's the moment when my stomach dropped, and just, it was the first time in my life that a parent couldn't meet a need that I had. I had a really blessed childhood where my needs were very much met in different ways. And this was a thing that was out of my mom's control, out of everyone's control. And it was just unexpected completely, really. Yeah, we were not expecting anything to go wrong.
Yeah, so it sounds like you went from kind of an excitement and like a clock going down. And I can't really imagine like the, you know, the excitement, the building and, you know, oh, my dad's almost home. And then to have that, a complete switch, right? Like very drastic, not only in emotion, but time, it sounds like.
Yes, the clock counted down to zero and then started counting up positive numbers of when they should have been back. So it's just this weird feeling of they're not there on the runway and the numbers are counting up and they're supposed to be here now. And as a 12-year-old, I think I might have thought even, oh, maybe they're late. I wasn't really thinking about the technical side. I wasn't paying attention. And so, yeah, it was rough. I remember them pushing us to the cars saying, get the crew families out of here. And there were press already starting to try to film us, and I don't know if it registered at the time, but it became a very public loss for all of us to experience as families.
Yeah. And then the country's kind of grieving as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. How does that affect you when like you're grieving very personally, but there's other people grieving and maybe also trying to, I'm sure questions got asked right away, right? Like, what happened? Why did this happen? How can we stop this from happening again?
Right. And again, all at 12 years old, which in my mind, I felt older. And so it's been interesting reflecting back now on different things. I'm so thankful for my mom. She was a huge shield for me from a lot of things and an amazing role model through all of the public ceremonies and things that we did. And I'm still very close to her. She's my best friend. But I just, yeah, we didn't turn on the TV for at least a month or more because they would replay the crash on TV on different and have it be a news spot, and there'd be new updates and things. And most of America knew there was something wrong before we did, because it happened over East Texas. And so some people already knew something was wrong before we even did. And then, yeah, there's just a myriad of things that come with a public loss. They were pioneers to space. And so Americans, and well, it was an international crew. We had the first Israeli astronaut on board as well, and the first Indian woman astronaut. So it was a very international crew. And they worked so well together, but the world's eyes were on that moment. And if it taught me anything, we're all human beings, no matter how visible we are to public eye. We all deal with things differently. We all grieve differently. We all have emotions and feel things and are real human beings, whether or not we're more visible to public eye or not. But it was hard sometimes. I didn't want to be openly emotional at ceremonies and then have press film me crying. You know, I really wanted that to be private, where I could privately grieve. And for the most part, I think I was able to have that. But it was hard at times. And then also feeling like I wanted to share my dad's story. So it's just this bittersweet dance of appreciation for all the prayers. There's so many people who I've met now who said they were praying for us then. And I know God used those prayers and has used those prayers in our life. And that's cool to see. That's cool to see people who were inspired by my dad's story or inspired by the crew or something like that. That's been really neat to see and feel connected in that way. And then there's the other side that's hard, when you just want privacy and you want to grieve, and people say you're strong to a 12-year-old, and that's the last thing I needed to hear, because already I'm lean towards the perfectionist achiever side as the first child, I guess, maybe, if you could say. And so I wanted to hold it together for my mom and for my brother, and thank God for counseling. I've unpacked a lot of that, but it definitely was an interesting landscape where adults would come up to me and express their grief. And sometimes I felt that I had to comfort them for my dad's loss, which feels so backward, but that is how it goes sometimes with grief. Whether it's public or not, people come up to you with their emotion, and you almost feel like you need to comfort them, or it's a weird paradox sometimes.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were defined by this, or you are defined by it?
Thankfully, because I know Jesus, I know I'm not defined by this. In another way, I'm proud of what my dad did, and it's very much a part of me. It's part of what shaped who I am. And God knew my story and has orchestrated my story and is the author of it. But I went through a time where I was a little more quiet about this part of my story, because I didn't want that to be the first thing that people knew about me. I didn't want pity, or I didn't want people just to want to know me because my dad was an astronaut and they thought that was cool. There is a lot more to me than that. And for a while I went a little quiet with it. And then through healing and counseling and growth and reflecting, I feel much more excited to share about that, because I've seen the ways that God has worked through the grief and joy. I've had joy in the midst of my grief too. I wouldn't trade my story. I know it's been given to me I didn't ask for it, but I'm thankful for what he's done through it. And there's, I don't feel defined by it, but it is very much part of what I am today.
So I'm going to ask this question of, did you ask why? Maybe to NASA or something, but even to God. And I think that's what my bigger question is because specifically you have a why, but I think in general, when any of us are grieving or going through something, it's easy, or we want to find an answer from God, right? Like, why is this happening, God? And you know, this sort of thing. And I think sometimes he gives us that and sometimes he doesn't, which has
right.
Things, right? So I guess that's kind of my reasoning for the question of did you ask why, either to God or to, you know, people higher up, and did you get an answer? Does that make sense?
Yes. That's, I think I feel that question so deeply. I think that's at the core of all of us, the question why.
Right, exactly.
I think we all desperately want to know why certain things have happened. And if it could have just gone different, like, why couldn't it have gone a different way? And yes, NASA did admit fault. So in that sense, they did do the accident report and they found out what was wrong and, you know, ways that the NASA culture needed to improve and that aspect. But it wasn't going to bring my dad back. So it's still like, why then? Why that crew? Why my dad? And it's making me think of another question right now. It's, if I, the closer I get to know Jesus, we can also ask the question, why did he die for us? It's just kind of, it's, there are things about the gospel that are bewildering, just like our life. It doesn't make sense. Why would God send his son to die for us when we didn't deserve a second chance? We didn't deserve that closeness with him. And yet he did it anyways, out of love for us. And so it's just making me think of that question, which makes me so thankful and gives me the hope for the whys that I don't know, such as why would this happen right now? But I have to trust that God knows more than I do. And I don't think God's heart or the core of who he is intends for us to endure deep pain. It's not how the world was meant to go, but he can use those moments to bring more people to him and beauty from ashes, redemptive things from it. And I feel like in different ways, I've heard people's stories of hearing that they heard about my dad and what a great dad he was and husband, and now they want to be a better dad and husband and follow God. And those little moments help fill in the why question for me. Obviously, I'd rather, if I could give my dad a hug and see him, I would love that. But I also am so thankful. I know I will see him again. And I just have to trust that this was the way God planned it to go. It's not out of God's control, even if it feels out of control to me.
That's really good. You know, you were saying how you said, like, why would Jesus come, you know, and give himself on the cross for us and come back to life? And I was just thinking, I've been reading in Deuteronomy, and before they're going to go into the promised land, and Moses is kind of going over again, like, these are the commands, you know, follow the commands, and like, you will be blessed or you will be cursed. And then before Moses dies, God says, they're not going to do it. They're going to go to idols. They're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's the exact same thing. It's like, he told them that, I love you. I want you to keep my commands. And I know you're not going to, you know? And so that kind of made me like the why, like, wow, what a loving God that he would know our hearts and know that we're going to make mistakes and that we're going to fall away over and over. And he still says, okay, I'll send my son for you.
Yeah. It's bewildering grace, really. It's doesn't make sense. And in a way that helps make sense of those things that don't make sense.
Right. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Well, you kind of said a few times like that you're excited to share the story or kind of excited to share about your dad. Is there anything that you're like, I do want to share this or I do want to say this?
Yeah, I think as I've walked grief for with my dad and many others for 21 years, there is beauty in it. There's a lot of unseen in it that just to encourage those who are walking through grief that just, I mean, and that you've probably heard it maybe, but the name of God, the God who sees, he does see us in those dark moments. And sometimes those moments end up being really amazing new moments of intimacy with God and ways that you didn't maybe understand a characteristic of God. And now, because you need him in that way, you're asking him to be something to you that you didn't ask him to be to you before. Such for me, like a father to the fatherless, and being a provider in different ways, being my joy in the pain. There's things that we start asking God to be that he has always been, but we weren't looking or asking for. And so I think there's something very rich and deep in that that you find even in the midst of those behind closed doors crying. No one sees, and it's ugly, but also beautiful in some cool ways. And so I think that's just know that even if you're in that place, there are beautiful things happening and things that are being built and made. And I love also a counselor of mine told me that grief is progressive. As we process, it's not that we're stuck. Like if we cry again, or if we have something trigger emotion again, it's not that we're stuck forever on it. It's a new progressive processing of God healing us. And I think that really encouraged me that I didn't have to fail. I wasn't failing at grieving if I had a new aspect of or a new layer that I needed to process. And I still do. There's different things that I process in my grief now, 21 years later, you know, so it changes as you go. And it's not a linear thing.
That's good. Well, I appreciate you sharing some of your story. I mean, we're just getting a glimpse of who you are and thank you for sharing, but I always love to wrap up with a few questions. So if I could ask those.
Sure.
What is your favorite Bible verse or story?
Proverbs 3:5-6 has been an ongoing verse for my family and I. My dad wrote it on his lithographs, his astronaut pictures. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And man, no matter what phase of life you're going through, it just rings true. It's trusting in him and not in our own understanding. And it's a daily thing to remember. And it always helps me redirect and figure out where my aim should be. And that's back to God, not trying to figure it out myself or make sense even of those whys that we were talking about. But trust that he has the understanding I don't, and he will make it good. He will make it straight.
That's good. That's actually probably, if I had to pick like a verse that's spoken to me throughout my entire life. I feel like that might have been like one of the first ones that I really like latched on to and then just never let go of, right? It's so good.
Yeah. Every stage of life. I love that about scripture, that it speaks to you no matter what season you're in. It, something new pops up from it because it's living and active.
Yeah. What are you grateful for?
So many things. The more grateful you are, the more things you think of, I think, is right. How that works, which is pretty amazing. It's contagious. So I'm grateful that God has given me hope every single day when I lack. God has given me grace to have discipline in different areas of my life. That's something I've been learning in the past year, just discipline. I'm thankful for opportunities to connect with others and share our stories, and that God uses story to give others hope, and that it's not lost.
Mm-hmm.
when we lose, like, our story still has value in it. It can connect and give others hope. I'm thankful for my family. We're very, very close to this day, and God really expanded it too. My mom remarried 5 years later to a widower, my stepdad Bill, and so I'm thankful that God expanded our family in some ways, in some beautiful ways.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you said about stories, because that's why I'm doing what we're doing. And that's why I'm so grateful that you and so many have come on to share your stories so that you can inspire and encourage others, and just also bring the kingdom of God a little bit further and further just by sharing how God's been working in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, I love your title. It's the fact that we're ordinary people and God's doing extraordinary things through us. And it's, we don't even really know how he works in those things. We can trust that he is doing bigger things than we have the tools for.
Yeah. And what kindness have you shown, or what kindness have you seen in the last week?
I recently got acquainted with a film studio in Houston called For the One, and they have been generously hosting some different events. I'm a film and stage actor, but they've been fostering community and using their resources to basically foster community in Houston in a way that I've never seen. And I've benefited from that this past week, and just seen the beautiful ways that if you open a door with your resources, it's just cool what God does with that. So I've benefited from the kindness of someone opening their door and using their resources for good.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. Well,
yeah, it's fun to see how people are working in your city together too. It's an exciting thing.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of end with these things, is because I think we need a little bit more gratefulness and a little bit more kindness in the world. And what better way to do it than to keep remembering it, right? Like just what you said.
Yes.
The more I think I'm grateful, the more I remember gratefulness, the more I am grateful. So I just don't know if we could have enough of that.
Yeah, it's a great multiplier that doesn't have any negative effects by having more of it.
Yeah. Well, Laura, I love getting to know you a little bit more. Thank you for being on.
Oh, it's been a joy. Thank you so much for letting me be here, share my story, and get to know you more as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ordinary People, Extraordinary Things, where your story is His glory. We will be back in 2 weeks with a brand new podcast. In the meantime, check out all of the other seasons 1 through 4, for all of the stories of faith and hope.